Morning. We're in Genesis 22, 1 through 14. If you turn your Bibles there, we're going to be reading that. But before I do that, I just want to, the Bible tells us that we need to commend one another in the Lord. And I would like to commend one another, the sound booth people, because they do a tremendous amount of work. The people can't make it. I couldn't make it to church after my transplant surgery for 5 weeks. And I enjoyed watching the service, even though I couldn't be with you. And I think we need to commend them and give them a round of applause. Really thanked them. I really did. I really appreciated them. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Let's hear God's almighty word. Word that's powerful to change us. The sacrifice of Isaac. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. He said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. What a wonderful passage of Scripture that we have today to look at. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would help us to understand all the things that you do for us every day of our lives. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for your providence. We thank you, Father, that you're in control of our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, for without him we would not be saved. Our sins would not be forgiven. We thank you for his shed blood. We thank you for his mighty resurrection. May we see Jesus in this passage. May we see Christ in our lives on a daily basis. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a personal testimony that you can share with us in this body of Christ? I believe you do. And I would love to hear your testimony. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you do have a testimony of how you came to Jesus. And I believe this testimony, your testimony, should continue to be as real in you as is today, as it was the day you came to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Is it? Is it real in you? Is it real in you? I realize even in my own life in Jesus that sometimes we keep our testimony to ourselves and we do not share our witness with others. Our church has begun one another groups so that we can get to know one another in the faith by sharing our testimonies. But we can add to this by having special testimony services with our entire body of Christ. I really believe we can encourage one another by sharing our testimonies of what God is doing in our lives. And thus, we can grow together as we are conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, I want to share my testimony of what God has been doing in my life. And I want to use Genesis 22, 1 through 14 as my testimony chapter. On August 29th, Mara and I received the biggest shock in our life. U.S. Sands called me and said four words that have changed my life in so many ways. We have a kidney. Let me give you a little backstory of how I came to this point of needing a kidney. It was in the 1990s that a doctor casually told me, basically, that I had high creatinine level in my kidneys, and I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know what it meant. So I just went on with my life, my ministry. I was a Navy chaplain for 20 years. I was an assistant pastor. I was a hospice chaplain. I was a VA, a veteran affairs chaplain. And then I came to Ocala, and they had an opening for the trauma chaplain. I applied, and for 4 years, I was a trauma chaplain at Ocala Regional. I kind of knew my kidneys were not that great, but no one ever told me that I had chronic kidney failure until about 2017. When my primary VA doctor told me that my kidneys were worse. For you see, if you have a high creatinine level, that means that your kidneys are not filtering any of the toxins in your blood. And that way, you're going to die someday. Without kidneys, you can't live. You have to go on dialysis. Well, she sent me to a wonderful kidney doctor up in VA Gainesville, Dr. Madonaho, and she told me that I was getting worse and that they need to give me medicine and keep a watch. She educated me finally about what chronic kidney disease is all about, telling me that there were five stages of this disease. Stage one and two is your kidneys are healthy, and they give it a number, 90 for stage one and then 60 to 89 for stage two. You're okay with those stages. The next stage, they break it up into two parts, 3A and 3B. 3A, the kidney function is 45 through 59. And then 3B, that number range is 30 to 44. And your kidneys are mildly severe, but getting worse. It's chronic. It takes over time. And then stage four, your numbers basically are from 29 to 15. And it is now severe. And then stage five, that means your kidneys are not functioning and you're on dialysis. On July 7th, 2022, my kidney doctor called me, and I thought it was kind of strange she called me. And she said, you're now at 19. I'm at 19 kidney function. Very close to going on dialysis, and that she wanted to put me on the transplant list. You see, you have to be a kidney function of 20 or below, even to get on a transplant list. I was at 19. So I tried to get on the transplant list at the VA, and Marla and I went up to Birmingham Veterans Hospital in Alabama, where you get evaluated. And then when I did my labs, my kidney function, believe it or not, was better than 19. It was at 23, so I could not get on the list. You have to be 20 or below. I also tried at Mayo Clinic. Same thing happened. My kidney function actually went up to 25. It's a good thing, but you can't get on the transplant list. So I couldn't get on the list. So now what? What was I going to do? At times, I would lay in my bed at night, in tears many times, asking the Lord to keep me stable at stage four so I would not go on dialysis. Well, when we were at Birmingham, the transplant staff told us that we could go out in the community, try there. And with the VA's blessing, there were three hospitals in Florida that I could go to, Tampa General, a hospital in Miami, and UF Shands Gainesville. So immediately we chose the closest hospital, UF Shands. I had an appointment with them to be evaluated on July 21st, 2023. And my kidney function score that day, when they looked at my labs, was at 20. 20, just the number I needed to get on the transplant list for a kidney. Do you believe in God's providence? I do. In fact, every decision in this process that happened was guided by God's hand in providing me all I needed. And the same is for you, for I believe your testimony can be exactly the same. I have felt so close during this whole process to our God and His presence who dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. I have felt God's presence in His Word in providing and leading me all the way to August 29th. In fact, August 29th is the same day that I received the kidney that I was commissioned into the United States Navy as a Navy chaplain. It's amazing. Our God continues to provide His care for me to this day. I believe you can tell me the same, for no matter what difficulties you have in your life with your health, the loss of a loved one, or even financial issues or whatever, you can say with your testimony and knowing that God is present for you and you have seen God's providence in everything that has happened to you. For God is in control. Do you believe the wonderful leading of our God? There are no surprises with God. No surprises. And during and at the end of all the difficulties and trials, we can see how God provides all that we need, no more or no less. Praise God for His wonderful triune God, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is so good to us as He provides us with His presence, His providence, and His provision. In summary, I get evaluated on July 21st at UF Shands with the exact score of 20 that qualifies me to get on a transplant list. On August 3rd, UF Shands sends me a letter accepting me on the transplant list. And that letter states that there is usually a 3 to 5 year wait for a kidney. I received the call 26 days later, August 29th, the day before Hurricane Idalia. And they say, we have a kidney. No wonder we are in shock. We shouldn't have been in shock because God can do anything. He can do anything. And I never realized that when I was on my bed crying out to the Lord, please, God, keep me stable so I would not have to go on dialysis, that our gracious, loving God would answer His prayer with a kidney. That was His answer. What a miracle God has given to me. In 26 days, not 3 to 5 years, I will receive a kidney. Praise God. And if you're Presbyterian, you can say amen.
Amen.
The transplant team at Shands needed someone who needed a kidney close to the hospital because of the hurricane was coming. So in an hour, we are on the road to U.S. Shands. And that early evening, I received a donor's kidney. Amazing. My blood type is A positive, and the donor's kidney was A positive, a perfect match. Do you believe in God's providence? God, by His providence, provided this kidney for me, for there are no coincidences with God. I was so thankful to the family who donated this kidney to me, and this has changed my life. Still need your prayers, for I do not want my body to reject this kidney, but I'm trusting God all the time. And He will answer my prayers and your prayers according to His will. Now, why did I share this testimony? Because I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. Now, God works in our lives, for we are His children, and God is our Father, and Jesus is our Savior and Lord. A few weeks ago, Pastor Gilbert talked about miracles. Every believer is a miracle. For we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive in Christ Jesus. In fact, we see our awesome God continues to do miracles in our lives. Well, I am sharing you this miracle today, here, October 22nd, with all of you, because I want you to see how our great God can do miracles in your life. He can cure cancer. He can take your loved one and cure their loved one's cancer. He can provide the exact funds that you need just at the right time. Do you see how God's presence, God's providence, and God's provision in your lives is truly a miracle? And all you can do, my child of God, is to give God all the glory and praise and have a heart of thanksgiving. Answer prayer is a miracle. And by the way, I do thank you for all your prayers and your continued prayers. So how does Genesis 22, 1 through 14 factor into my testimony? This chapter in the Bible has always meant a lot to me in my Christian life and growth. And during this whole process, with all the experience I was dealing with my kidneys, I did think of this chapter. This chapter tells us the three actions I've been talking about that happens, and that is God's presence, God's providence, and God's provision. It's constant in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. We see all these three actions of God all at once in this chapter of God dealing with Abraham. So let's go with some background. I'm shaking because the medicine I take makes me shake. Genesis 12. God calls Abram to go to from his present country and take his family and servants and all his possessions to the land that God was going to show him. And notice what Abraham does. He obeys God and left with the promise that Abraham would be a great nation and Abram's name would be blessed and he would be a blessing. Israel was that great nation, and we need to continue to pray for Israel. Genesis 15, Abram received in a vision from his God, "Fear not, Abram, for I am your shield. Your reward will be great." And Abram told God how, "I am childless, and Eliezer of Damascus is my heir. I have no offspring." And God brought Abram outside and said, look toward heaven and the number of the stars. And if you are able to number them," then he said to him, "so shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. Romans 1:16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written," that gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Abraham lived by faith, serving Jehovah. That's the covenant name of God. Abraham believed in the great promised seed, who is Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham, according to Romans 4, was justified by faith, not works, or anything we can do in ourselves. This is the gospel from all the way back in Genesis 15. If you're wondering how you can be saved from your sin, look at Abraham and see that we cannot save ourselves. We have to confess our sins and repent and then believe in what Jesus did for us in his perfect life and on the cross, having died, was buried, and then resurrected to defeat sin and death. We have to come to the cross empty-handed and accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who takes our sin and then gives us his righteousness, just like Abraham believed, and it was counted for him as righteousness. Do you believe and accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord? My prayer is that I hope that the Holy Spirit leads and convicts you of your sin, and that you would come and believe in Jesus even today by his word that is spoken to you. And if you do, we would love to know that great decision you made by the power of the Holy Spirit, and come and talk to the elders. Going on in Genesis 17, Abraham at 99 years old, he's 99 years old, he received the sign of the covenant, circumcision of the Old Testament. And God continued to promise Abraham that he would be a father of a multitude of nations and be exceedingly fruitful. This covenant would be an everlasting covenant between Abram and his God. And in Genesis 17:5, Abram gets a name change from Abram to Abraham. as his name would be great. You see, God added AM to his name, which means people, many people. So now he is called Abraham. Also in Genesis 17, God promises a son, an heir to Abram, and now Sarai is now Sarah, and she will give birth to a son. We know both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the thought of having a son, for Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. But we see God's promise comes to be in Genesis 21, when Isaac is born to Sarah, and Sarah was full of laughter and joy. So do you know what Isaac's name means? One who laughs or rejoices. That's what Isaac's name means. Can you imagine how much Abraham and Sarah loved this boy? He was their treasured heir of all what God had promised Abraham in his covenant. And then later we see, and this is when we get to Genesis 22, Abraham's faith would be tested by his God. As you look all along, we see my 3 points. God's presence, God's providence, and God's provision has been in Abraham's life. And now we see God testing to see how Abraham's faith is doing. Does he love God? Because God should be our first love. Even more than his beloved son Isaac, who he waited for many years. What dreadful words when you get to Genesis 22. Coming from the God he loves. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. But no, God, no, I can't do that. I can't do it. We've come so far together, and I know you, God. You would never tell me to do that. How can I do this to my only son? But Abraham doesn't even think this way, does he? But Abraham obeyed God, just like he did in Genesis 12 when he went to the new land. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cuts the wood for the burnt offering. He goes to the place which God had told him. On the third day, he lifts up his eyes and he sees that place from afar. He tells the young men to stay with the donkey. I and the boy will go worship over there. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they went on together. Now Isaac was perplexed. He couldn't understand because they didn't have an animal to sacrifice. And I am sure Isaac had seen his father worship many times before. So he asked a very good question. Abraham, my father, here I am, son. Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering, father? Where is the lamb? They had to be chilling words from the son he loved. Would you not do anything for your children? You pray for their salvation. You ask to keep them safe. And now Abraham's heart had to be touched, but notice his tremendous faith in his God. He says, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went on further, both of them together. They came to the place that God specifically told them to go. Notice that. He obeyed even to the place he was supposed to go. And Abraham built the altar. He laid the wood in order. Then he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. What trust Isaac had to have in his father at this particular moment, especially when Abraham took the knife. He took the knife toward his son to slaughter his only son he loved. And then what happens? The word but, it's a great word in Scripture, for it dramatically changes the entire scene. An angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, exclamation mark point. He wanted to get noticed. And he said, here I am. The angel of the Lord said, don't touch the boy. Don't lay a hand on him. Don't do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, Abraham passed the test from his God. Abraham's love and devotion to his God was even more than his love for his only son that he waited for many years to have. The question I have for you today is, has God tested your faith lately? I have been tested during this whole time to continue to trust God with my whole heart, and sometimes I fail. I don't do that. Especially now that the kidney I receive will not be rejected, I tell God all the time, I trust you. And by doing that, my faith has grown tremendously. I have become so close to God. James 1:2 tells us to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why? My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You will be unwavering in your faith. Count it all joy. Wow. And then in James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I believe Abraham's faith has grown tremendously as he passed this test. And I believe his relationship with God had grown even closer. Later on in this chapter, he is called blessed because of his obedience to God. Just think about this. Abraham loved God even more than his son. If you go back and you go forward into the Hebrews, Hebrews 11, 17 and 19, we are told in the great Hall of Fame chapter of faith, it says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall all your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham believed in the resurrection from the dead, even back in Genesis 22. Amazing. Amazing. We see in the Old Testament how the resurrection is spoken about. And now we look forward to Jesus when he passed, he came to the cross and he died and he was buried and he rose again. So Abraham lifts up his eyes after the angel told him not to harm the boy. And thank God that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. We need, by faith, to lift up our eyes in good or bad times, even as Abraham lifted up his eyes to all those stars in the sky back in Genesis 15. Keep your eyes on the living, powerful God who can do anything for you, for he is in control and he will amaze you. As the hymn tells us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look into his wonderful face. Even among all the distractions of the world, we are to keep focus on serving him. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all in his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life? And what did Abraham see as he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him he saw a ram that God provided, caught in the thicket by his horns, and God, by his presence and providence, provided that ram at that specific place and time where God directed him to go. Abraham believed in his God. Abraham trusted in his God, and God provided for him. Believe personally in his presence. Believe personally in his providence. Believe personally in his provision for you, as he did for Abraham and even Isaac this morning and at all times. He took the ram, placed it on the altar, and he sacrificed that ram. What a mighty provision God provided that day. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. One of the many names God reveals himself to his people in redemptive history. The Lord will provide, as it is this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. It's just amazing to me, this story. He provided that ram just at the right time and the right place. for the ram would be the substitute for the sacrifice that day, so Isaac would not be harmed. In the gospel, we should have died on that cross for our sins, but we were sinful, and we could not do it. So Jesus, the perfect Son of God, as our substitute, came to this earth, and he lived a perfect life as the unblemished Lamb of God, as the John the Baptist tells us in John 1:29. And Jesus went in our place, and he died. He was buried. He rose again to defeat sin and death once and for all for his people, for his elect. I failed to mention that this poster that I had, that had the whole scene of this thing. I used to, as an early Christian, I would put that poster up. I came upon this poster of this scene, and I failed to mention that on this poster of this scene, we see a cross. We see a cross. And so, you see where Abraham was able to take Isaac home with him? God, our sovereign God, sent his only beloved Son to be a final sacrifice for his people. For God did not spare his Son, but delivered himself up for us all. How shall he not freely give us all things? In Romans 8:32. Isaac was spared, but Jesus was not spared for us. And all that believe in Jesus have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God for his presence, his providence, and his provision of his Son, so that we shall have eternal life. The question I have for you is, do you believe in Jesus? So that when you face any difficulties or trials in your life, realize these truths. God's presence, child of God, is with you. You are not alone. For God told Joshua as he was about to take the promised land, do not be afraid, I am with you. And Jesus said in the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always. The Holy Spirit will guide you in anything you're going through in your life, and the God of comfort is there with you. Remember also God's providence. God is in control of every situation in your life, good or bad. God's hand is directing you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6. And finally, God is your provision for everything in your life. All that you have, all that you own is from God. And he provides richly for you. And he knows exactly what you need. He is your Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22:1-14, and Matthew 6:25-34. So, what is God doing in your life? What is God doing in your life right now? Sometime, I would love to hear your testimony. Let us pray. Heavenly